Thank you, Jim and Savannah. Thank you. I never, never get tired of hearing them do that. Well, it's so good to see everybody. We have so many families I see with children that are home and visiting, and it's so good to see everybody here with us tonight for this time. Just a brief message I always bring to this service, because I know we have a lot of small kids, so I promise we will be brief. You may have heard the story about a young minister. He's conducting his very first church service. He's a bit apprehensive, so he decides that he will rehearse his opening line just to make sure that he gets off to a positive start. This is a liturgical church where he is to open the service by saying, "The Lord be with you," and the people all respond, "And also with you." So he rehearses that line over and over, and then the time comes for him to begin the service. And to his horror, he discovers his microphone isn't working. Taps on it with his finger, nothing happens. So in a bit of panic, he says in a loud voice, "There's something wrong with this thing." And the congregation responds, "And also with you." Now, I begin with this story because it does not take a trained theologian to recognize something very basic about this world we live in. There is something wrong with this thing. Does not matter where you might come down on your belief in Jesus and why he might have come to this world on this first Christmas. We all are faced with a head-scratching dilemma of how to answer the question, can this world we live in, with all of its ugliness, actually be what God intended? When I was in high school, I remember getting a Simon and Garfunkel LP for Christmas. For the 80% of you here who have no idea what an LP is, just think CD, okay? And for the 40% of you who have no idea what a CD is, I cannot help you. I own a flip phone, okay? But what I most remember about that particular record was not the top 40 hits that were on it, but rather it was this version they did of Silent Night. Where as the song progressed, their singing of that beautiful carol that we will close with tonight slowly faded into the background as the sounds of a recent TV newscast got louder and louder. And the words "Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright," became a whisper. And the voice of the newscaster became louder as he reported on the overdose death of a Hollywood star and the escalation of the war in Vietnam, and other news of the day, none of which was very calming or bright or holy. And the dichotomy expressed by that coupling has stuck with me ever since, because it reminds me of a simple truth. If we are honest, we must all come to accept there is something wrong with this world. Or to quote from that famous line in Apollo 13, you know, when the astronauts keep running into one catastrophic challenge after another, what was the phrase they would repeat? "Houston, we have a problem." Well, friends, we citizens of the planet Earth also have a problem. And the problem revolves around what the Bible calls sin. We may not like that word, but a rational person cannot deny its existence or its impact on the human race and on how we relate to one another. I don't even have to turn on the news to conclude that something is wrong with this world. All I have to do is look into the mirror of my own heart and mind. And the same is true of you, because we are all infected by this spiritual disease. I have my own sin, you have yours. We all can be very selfish at times. We all can act out of jealousy or envy or pride. And sin involves not just the wrong things we do, but also the good things, the pure things we could have done, but we didn't. Every time I could have spoken a kind word, but I held back. Every time I clung to my money, my stuff, when I could have been generous. Every time I could have forgiven, but I chose to resent instead. See, it's not just all those other bad people out there. There's something wrong with me and with you as well. And the great tragedy in this is how this sin impacts our relationship with a holy and just God. As a church, we've been studying names or titles given to Jesus by the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before his birth. Isaiah 9:6 is the passage. We'll have it up there for you. Let's read it together. For to us a child is born. As a church, we looked together in previous weeks at Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. Well, a third name we see is that Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace. Now, this word, peace, has a couple of ramifications. There is the peace God will bring to an anxious mind, to a troubled heart. I'm actually going to speak an entire message on that in the new year. But for us tonight, we will address one of the primary reasons that we should celebrate Christmas. It is because it signifies the day that Jesus came to this world to make peace between us and God. See, the bad news is we are separated from God by our sin. Every sin we commit registers in the heart of God. Not because he's a petty tyrant or a nitpicky ogre, but because he is perfectly holy and just. And all of my sins, your sins, makes us, and this is the heart of the Christian message Jesus came to proclaim, it makes us enemies of God. Paul says this in Romans 5:10. For if when we were God's enemies, he uses that term, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more having been reconciled shall we be saved through his life? You and I are enemies of God. That's the bad news, friends. And if it was up to us on our own to make peace with God, we would be in a world of hurt because we would have no hope. The gap between my sinful nature and God's holy being is just too deep and too wide for me to ever bridge it on my own. But thankfully, God was not willing to leave things as they were. Someone in heaven said, God, we've got a problem. And he said, not to worry, I have a solution. And he sends a baby into this world. And make no mistake, this was no normal baby. This little one that we have worshiped in song tonight was actually God come to this earth. The writer of Hebrews writes some incredible words in Hebrews 1:1-3. He says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. That's the Old Testament. And many times in various ways. But in these last days, since Jesus has come, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. How incredible is it that on Christmas, Jesus, the exact imprint of God's very being, is born into this world. What an awesome miracle. But if it ended there, a miraculous birth, followed by a good life and a nondescript death of old age, we would not be celebrating tonight, would we? But that's not the way God planned it. There was an even greater miracle to come. Because 33 years after his birth, Jesus, God in the flesh, completed his miracle solution to our sin problem. When he ended his time here on this earth by allowing himself to be nailed to a cross. Kind of seems like a strange way for God to accomplish his solution, doesn't it? Be born in a barn, executed as a criminal. Come on, what was God thinking? Well, it's all tied up in a reference Jesus gives of himself. He speaks this word shortly before he would go to the cross to give up his life. It's found in Luke 13:34, where it says this. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is Jesus talking. You will kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Think about it. A mother hen? That is how you're going to help me, God? I mean, a lion, I get it. An eagle, I get it. But how could a mother hen solve my sin problem? Well, let me ask you. How exactly would a mother hen protect her children if they were threatened? only one way. She would gather them up under her wings, shield them with her own body. She would, in effect, say to whoever meant to do them harm, if you want to get at my children, you will have to kill me first. You know, we've all heard that saying, over my dead body. Well, in a manner of speaking, God, in coming to this world, was saying to all of us here, you can choose to remain my enemy. You can choose not to be reconciled to me. You can choose to spend eternity separated from me. But if you do, it will be over my dead body. Do you ever wonder, does God really love me? Does he really notice? Does he really care? We're all familiar, I'm sure, with the passage in John 3:16. Let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved you that he sent Jesus into the world. That's the gospel message. But you know, perhaps you're here tonight and you're just not feeling it. In fact, even in the midst of this crowd, you're feeling a little bit alone, a little bit insecure. Alone because perhaps a loved one has passed away this past year, and this is your first Christmas without them. Perhaps it passed away 5, 6, 7 years ago, 10. You're still not used to it. You're feeling a little bit insecure because you are facing an overwhelming burden that you feel it's just all on you to carry. There's no one there with you. Well, let me close our time by using the fourth title given of Jesus in that Isaiah passage we read. And that is the title, Everlasting Father. Jesus came that first Christmas as God saying to you, I want to be your father and for you to be my child. When my kids were little, we would often hear the patter of little feet heading down the hall to our bedroom. And one of them would be come in and stand by our bedside, hoping we would let them get into bed to sleep with us. We the only family that ever experienced this, all right? Well, they realized early on that I was a soft touch, so they would stand by my side of the bed because they knew I would let them stay. And one child in particular, once they settled in our bed, they then wanted me to place my arm around them for them to feel really secure. And they would call it the gate. Well, I would do the gate, and after a while, my arm would get tired. So I'd pull it back and start to turn over, and I would hear this little voice going, Daddy, Daddy, the gate, the gate. You see, in the midst of the darkness of the night and the insecurity that often brings to a child, they needed to know that they were secure in their father's arms. And then they could drift off to sleep. Well, perhaps you were here tonight and you feel alone. You feel a little insecure. Well, God is right there wanting to place his arms securely around you as your everlasting father. So, as we prepare to leave this place after the singing of Silent Night, it is my prayer you will leave understanding, yes, something is wrong with this thing. Yes, Houston, we do have a problem, but we also have a solution. It came in the gift that God gave to us on that first Christmas morning. As the worship team comes forward now and the ushers come forward, it's a gift that John describes in his gospel this way. Let's stand together now and let's read this verse and we'll be prepared for the closing song. It's John 1:14. The Word, read it. The Word became flesh. God became flesh and we beheld his glory. And that glory being his willingness to leave heaven and to come dwell among us and to give each of us the opportunity to be reconciled with him by placing our faith in Jesus' coming and then dying for us. Have you done that? If you haven't, you can do it tonight. And then you too will know he dwells with you as you leave here tonight and as you wake up tomorrow morning, because you will have experienced the dawn of redeeming grace that is ours to choose to experience because Christ the Savior is born. The ushers now.